انا اللي بنبقى let's resume our session. I would give the opportunity to the legal unit to assist us, lead us on the kwazi uthe nokude nje ufuna umane ugibisela amake.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, allow me to remind the members that in the last presentation and discussions by the Portfolio Committee of the draft regulations, the committee mandated and requested the legal team to consider the draft, including, amongst other things, consolidating the two sets of regulation to one set, and in particular the emphasis of the committee was also in relation to the funding arrangements and regime, of which, Honorable Chairperson, we have attempted as a legal team to finalize and to consider the comments as raised by the committee. But before we can deal with the draft itself, Chairperson, the draft that is before us or that is going to be presented is for the committee to know the following, that the PC's comments on this draft, we have highlighted them in blue. That is basically what the committee requested of us as the legal team to consider and to insert. Then the committee will, of course, in the process while presenting, draw the attention to the blue as card in the draft. And the public comments, you know, including the issue of the public comments, including the realignment, you know, of the draft, they are inserted in red, that we have considered that those are some of the other aspects that we thought it is prudent and imperative that they should be inserted because they, of course, enhance the capacity of the bill and also for the better implementation of the regulations. And the last part will be the department, you know, comments as well, together with the HDA, because we've been working together on this, they are in purple, that for the committee also to, you know, to consider on record while dealing with this draft. But before I do that, Chairperson, and over to the HDA that are going to lead us as part of the collective, and therefore, Chairperson will, of course, at this point in time, hand over now to the junior counsel for them to proceed on this matter. Thank you. Well, I'm trying to save cost and also given the wonderful work that you have done on the primary legislation, I thought it's appropriate, Chairperson, you know, to rest and also give the junior counsel to be.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee. I've been asked to take us through the areas where there have been changes made onto the regulations based on the last tabling, and this was from the input that we see from the committee in end of January. As Kwesi has indicated, there are components which have been highlighted in the document, and I'll simply go through those particular areas. We also have a presentation that indicates the comments that have been received from the various sources, both PC and SALGA, amongst others that have received, provided us with input. And Chair, we can go through that if time allows. Just in terms of the regulations, the way that they've been structured now, you do have the first component of the HDA's governance portion. And we are of the opinion that these are now being considered as part and parcel of the Section 32 of the HDA regulations. The first chapter largely deals with the governance issues. Chair, this was a matter that was tabled by the HDA in the early part, in the mid part of last year, and they hadn't been formally adopted, so they have been included here for the committee's final review of them before they are presented as final regulations. So that's the second chapter that deals with that. Chapter 3 is dedicated to the priority housing development, and within it we consider the various components and aspects that, based on the consultation, we've tried to find emphases or to find ways of clarifying aspects which were not as yet quite apparent in reading the documentation. It does go on all the way up until Chapter 7, which is really on the general aspects of it, but that is the context of the chapters that we'll be looking at. If I can just go through page by page on the changes that have been inserted. Because of the addition of the governance, you'll see that the governance definitions have now also been included in Chapter 1, and those are the ones which have been highlighted in blue. There is also an inclusion about Division of Revenue Act, which was raised as a matter of the funding component and the need to ensure that there is some alignment with the sources of government fiscal planning, and so that has been added. There has been a definition of the Housing Act, which was not there previously. We were asked to clarify the housing institutions. What do we mean by that? And this is provided for in the Housing Act. So again, it's been provided for in the definitions to help clarify that point. There was a series of discussions about who or what is an implementing agent, and therefore this necessitated the need to have a definition of what is an implementing agent. The definitions currently state that it means the entity, organ of state, or business enterprise responsible for the implementation of a priority housing development area plan as identified in terms of this regulation. So that has been provided there. There was also an omission of the integrated development plan as being an informant to what could be a priority housing development area, and so that definition has also been provided for. Medium-term expenditure framework has been added, and then the Municipal Systems Act, because we are drawing a lot on the powers and functions of the local government authority, and those have been included. The issue about participants, who is a participant, we have since received some comments from Treasury recommending that we rather use stakeholders, but in this context we've had it as participants, so that was the definition that was provided for there. Chair, if I could then move on to the actual regulations themselves. The first part, as we indicated, deals with the governance components, and that is the one that is marked in blue. So those were comments that were received from the portfolio committee before, and the legal team are provided for them here for completion of the HDA regulations. I then move to the Chapter 3, which is where we start with the priority housing development areas. And the first section there, 13, speaks to pre-declaration of a priority housing development area. And here is where the emphasis of the integrated development plan comes into fore. And the aspect is that it should be prepared as part and parcel of that local government planning processes. And therefore it comes as a proposal that has been deliberated upon with the local authority responsible for the IDP. There was an issue raised about the identification criteria. And again here section 13.2 speaks to the identification criteria. If I could just name them, Chair, we are noting that it has to be an area that has got high demand for housing and related services within the area, is large enough to accommodate economic and social infrastructure and housing needs, so it's not just a housing project as such, supports sustainable environment management and integration of land uses and amenities that would grant reasonable access or progressive realization of such access to bulk infrastructure, amenities, economic activities, and transport. The area should not be zoned for purposes of forestry, mining, or similar activities that may have been designated prior. It should not pose any environmental or health risk for the future usage of that land. It's not protected in terms of any law in order to preserve biodiversity and natural habitats and other purposes. So this is quite high level, but we do think that it does give us a context within which an area can be prioritized. Section 3, marked in blue, stipulates that the municipality and the agency must develop and finalize an implementation protocol This was largely based on the consultation with SALGA, where we felt that based on the powers and functions of a local authority, we would need to enter into an implementation protocol as prescribed in the IGR Act. So that has been reflected on there. If relevant, the municipality is a non-assigned municipality seeking priority housing development area. The relevant provincial department must be co-signatory. So in other words, before we begin the process of identifying or beginning to prepare a plan, we need to have an IP within place, either with the municipality if they're the ones who've got the final authority on that. If it is not an accredited or designated municipality, then the province would be the co-signatory in that regard. Chair, there was concern about the public consultation process, and based on the interactions that we've had with SALGA again, it was felt strongly that we need not have two parallel processes. We ought to be using the same processes that a local authority uses for public consultation. And so reference is made here to the Municipal Systems Act and recommendation that we use the same process of IDP review annually, and that those consultations of identifying or prioritizing an area become part of those priority projects that are considered within an IDP. In essence, this implies that the agency in cooperation with the municipality must submit the proposal contemplated in the sub-regulation to the minister for consideration after the IP and all of those earlier processes have taken into consideration. The implication here, Chair, is that it is a plan that would have to be upheld by the municipality, and the minister will simply be bringing to bear other entities within her forte, but also other departments, as it were. After the approval by the minister of the development plan proposal, there could be a preliminary declaration of that plan. We were also asked to give some details as to how the plan can be aligned with other spatial related initiatives, and those have been highlighted here in blue. What would be the nature of the circumstances of priority? And here we are expressing the details of evidence of alignment with relevant integrated development plan as a first take, applicable spatial development framework, which is the local authority's competency. We need to be able to clarify the nature of the land uses and the ownership of the land as well, because in essence it might imply that there are various owners of land within that prioritized development area. There should be details of proof of inclusion of the consultative process with the participants in an integrated development plan process, commitment by relevant participants to assist the agency in preparing the plan. And this is really by way of accelerating that plan as a priority area. The source of funds required to be prepared to prepare the priority housing development plan area ought to also be emphasized, and the budget allocations from the municipality and other relevant participants through the medium expenditure framework. Proposed time periods within the development plan must be finalized. Again, we've expressed this in detail when we talk about the preparation of the development plan. And then I've mentioned the issue about the signed protocol as the first point of interaction with a municipality or a province, depending on who is the driver for that particular area. Additions highlighted in red, Chair, this speaks to the actions to finalize the development plan for a priority housing development area. Emphasis on 14 simply suggests that it's not the agency on its own, but in cooperation with the municipality. And whether this is done in consultation or otherwise, the feeling was that the context of ownership of the plan has to be approved by council. The plan, once completed, must obtain council resolution, council approval. So in that way, the agency on its own cannot really be deemed to be within the agency's right to formulate a plan. It has to be approved by the council resolution process. So in that instance, we would be accelerating the preparation of the plan on behalf of the municipality, and that council would need to sit and approve that plan. The anticipated period is 12 months, and this is really assuming that if we go through the same process of IDP reviews where priority projects are designated, that this would be the same kind of period that the plan would have to be subjected through until final approval as a priority within the IDP budget processes. We were asked about what the development plan must contain. And in this instance, we're stating that it has to be, the objectives must be clear, what it is that the prioritization of the area would be able to achieve. And those have been noted there. The blue are the additions, so the nature of the land use and ownership, evidence of alignment I've mentioned, type of development that could take place in the area, roles and responsibility of required participants, and details of the community to be affected, either directly or indirectly, by declaring an area as a priority. We did speak about the technical feasibility studies that would have to be concluded in the plan. There was also a need to look at the description of how existing projects would be incorporated into a development area, and that has been added there. There ought to be indicative budget allocations from the municipality and other relevant participants within the medium-term framework, indications of intended implementing agents. Chair, we did come across in the consultation process that some of the municipalities, particularly the metros, may already have agencies, development agencies, in their own forte that they might want to use to be the implementing agent. And so for that reason, that has also been clarified, and I'll take you to that point where that is some recommendations are made there on how to determine who becomes an implementing agent. There ought to be compliance with government policies and legislations, including the spatial planning, the land use management legislations, and the relevant provincial municipal policies and legislations. Indication of the person responsible for acting as the duly authorized representative of the participants. Again, this would be part and parcel of who is the implementing agent, who will be vested with the necessary authority to bind the participants in the decisions which have to be taken, and also a party to whom the implementing agent would liaise and correspond as a result. Who must be informed? If the implementing agents or any changes with regard to the unauthorized representation and the position of the representative. So again, this would be indicated in the IP but also in the agreement with the implementing agent. Section 15 speaks to the consultation process, and here emphasis has now been placed on the community. I think this was part of the comments that was raised by the committee members. And then also the issue about consultation with the participants, the owners of the land, and any authority that might have jurisdiction over the area that is being prioritized. There was a necessity to retain the records of this consultative process so that there are no issues that could come back on aspects of communities or relevant parties not having been appropriately consulted. So the records would be retained for that purpose. In terms of being able to communicate broadly the notice to consult, again, the aspects were added in red. Some of the areas that have also been added in terms of having these consultations are displayed in municipal offices, provide a community with at least 7 days prior to notice of place and date and time which the consultative meeting is to take place. Inform the community that a copy of the preliminary development plan is open. Again, Chair, this is really to ensure that the affected communities are well versed with what it is that is being proposed as part of the development for the area. Include details of meeting which the municipality deems necessary. Again, if this is part and parcel of the municipal consultation process, there will be party engaging around the plan that is being prioritized. The information contained in the notice is as far as reasonable possible, is at least three of the official languages, including English and predominantly spoken language in that municipal jurisdiction. Again, this was received from one of the comments that it has to be accessible. You can't just put a display and nobody really has got access to it. Mm-hmm. So effort should be made to ensure that there is ability of the languages that are spoken in those municipalities to also be provided as alternatives. There ought to be public advertisement in the media, and then also with regard to any notice regarding the proposed development is of such nature that it can't be understood by the affected parties. So it can't be too complicated that the residents cannot be able to engage with it. So that was expressed there as being a requirement and expectation. Maintaining records of those consultation meetings through a register. The language of communication ought to be understood. The community should be aware of the right to object and provide written comments. And then also the extent that the submissions require interpretation, either because of language in which the consultative process is being conducted, it should be adequate that they're able to follow through the process. The municipality must retain and store all these processes of consultation in their records, and any comments that have been received as part of the record of what it is that is being done in the development area. Chair, I now move to the section 6, which speaks about the consultation with MINMAC. And here, what has been emphasized is that the minister in consultation with MINMAC and the relevant authorities in the provinces and municipal approve the development plan within the 90 days. The legal advice that we got is that if we didn't put any dates in, it might take for, there won't be a deadline as to when the input should be in place. So our sense was that if there are quarterly meetings, at least 3 months should be adequate enough for the consultation process. The development plan must be kept and filed by the agency for record purposes. Again, this is just ensuring diligence and governance. And then there was the issue about the approval of the development plan, and the addition there in ready to say the minister, after the consultation and obtaining buy-in from MINMAC, the agency would then declare priority housing development area. This was the point raised by the legal team that at the moment, when they look at the HDA Act, it's not really up to the minister to declare. The minister can approve in terms of supporting, but the Act states that the agency must declare a priority housing development area. And that's why that has been added in there. We do think that we only do that with the support of the minister, so in any case, he or she would still have to give a thumbs up for the plan before we go ahead and declare. Chapter 4, Chair, speaks to the implementation by way of speaking to the details of the development plan. And here, 18 was already discussed. I'll go to the intimating agents because that's where some of the comments came. The municipality in cooperation with the agency may appoint an implementing agent on terms and conditions agreed to between the parties. The intended implementing agent being either the agency or an external service provider appointed by the agency with the approval of the municipality. The municipality or an external service provider appointed by the municipality with the approval of the agency. So there's that notion about collaborative agreement in some way as part of fast-tracking municipals on priorities. It could also be a public or municipal entity as agreed by the agency and the municipality. So in the case of the city of Joburg, they could well say that they want the Johannesburg Development Agency to be their implementing agent. And again, that would have to be stipulated when they are considered to be such. Point 2 in section 2 in blue, subsection 2, the forums and committees contemplated in sub-regulation 1 must include community representatives. I think this also came from PC comments as well. We've added a section on monitoring of priority housing development areas. When we look at the HDA Act, this is one of the mandates that the agency has in overall, but we do think that it could also apply to the pre-HDA areas. And therefore, it's indicated here that the agency must monitor the implementation of priority housing development area plan. And in so doing, the agency, where the agency is not the implementing agent, the signatories of priority housing development area plan also must be monitored. Chapter 5 now speaks to intergovernmental and institutional collaboration, and this is where the implementation protocols come into force. We have emphasized in Section 23 about the need to have the IP in place before you begin the process of consulting on the development plan, and also indicating the amendments to the implementation protocol must be agreed to in writing by all the signatories. So first there has to be an agreement for that plan to commence through the IP. Chapter 6 now speaks to the funding of priority housing development area. Again, the changes there in subsection 25, where it's indicated that a defined amount must be made available by the relevant member of Executive Council, in particular province from the provincial allocation in terms of the annual housing vote allocated by the Finance Minister as part of the Division of Revenue Act. In the case of an assigned municipality, a defined amount must be made available by the municipality from the municipal allocation in terms of the annual housing board. This is in the case where municipalities may already be accredited. Chair, just to note that at the moment it's been limited to the financial streams that have got housing allocations for them. So it's not looking at other amenities as such, but calling to bear the ones which are within the human settlement provision. Funding commitments, I'm reading at section subsection 5 now, funding commitments and sequence of release must be stipulated by each party in the development plan. The development plan, as is thought of here, is where the detail will sit. So once a plan has been formulated, there should also be indication of when the funding streams will be required, both capital and operation in this case. Essential elements of cooperation, those were previously there before, but there are aspects that have also been added or realigned that we bring the closure of the housing development as part of those elements of cooperation, that there ought to be a closing down strategy, that there ought to be a handing over procedures, when does the agency exit, and those aspects should be dealt with in the closeout report. And Chair, just to conclude on the last chapter, indicating that the regulations are called the Housing Development Agency Regulations on Priority Housing Development Areas, but just to note at the moment that the first chapter actually speaks to the governance component, and perhaps in gazetting we might gazette them as separate, just to ensure that it's clear which regulations are being gazetted when. And I'll stop there to take any comments.
No, thank you very much. Thomas. Okay. May I give the parliamentary legal office to...
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members.
Before you do, you know, in my mind, because of regulations, there are also... This process has been too elongated. On the first draft on the governance issue, there was a comment that was done by the delegated scrutiny committee, and it was communicated to yourselves. We gave you that comment, but now the retrieve, because I believe that we should have responded to it, because we put that aside to say we're going to respond. I'm sure Honorable Pamela will recall that. But maybe it's just coming now when I'm here. If you can retrieve that one. There was a comment from that of another clause that they wanted a response on that one.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. First, I would like to just add one thing on what has already been presented by my colleague. In respect of the Act, I think when we're drafting, maybe it would assist us to use the same language that's used in the Act, because obviously the regulations are interlinked with the Act. What I mean by that is when I look into Section 7 of the Act, for the benefit of maybe not having the copy, I'll just read from the Act, the HDA Act, functions of the agency. The agency must develop a development plan to be approved by the minister in consultation with the relevant authorities in the provinces and municipalities. I'm just going to read that, because what I would like to suggest or recommend is to, rather than using in cooperation, we use in consultation, to use the same language that's used in the Act. And if we go to regulation 26, the regulations now, that one speaks of essential elements of cooperation. I'll just read sub one there. The agency will at all times be entitled to rely upon the full cooperation and support of other organs of state to achieve the planning, and it continues. What I would like to suggest is where the agency is the one that needs the cooperation, that's where we can use the cooperation. So if you're saying the municipality must do this, the municipality must cooperate with the agency. But when you're saying the municipality needs to do something, the agency must. So if it's the agency that needs something from the municipality or cooperation, we rather say in consultation, so the agency must consult. But when it comes to the municipality, the municipality must cooperate with the agency. So we must use those words interchangeable, because that's how they are related in the Act, so that we use the same language, so that when we are trying to avoid the unintended consequences. Where, for an example, the municipality says, we need our cooperation, you've used that word, therefore we cannot do anything without us cooperating with you, and so on. Doesn't necessarily mean the agency won't consult with the municipality. For the sake of ambiguity, I think we must do it. I'm recommending that we must do it like that. That's point number one. The other thing that I wanted to comment on, fortunately, I was also advising the Scrutiny Committee on Delegated Legislation on the same regulations. And the regulations that were tabled in Parliament by the Department, there was a Regulation 23, which dealt with offences and penalties. In respect of the Principal Act, the Minister is not given the authority to regulate on penalties and offences. And the comment that I made there in the opinion was that that regulation needs to be deleted, because the Minister is not authorized to regulate on that. But what I'm recommending that we do in the regulations, in the same regulation that I'm talking about, 26, we can have a clause there that's cross-referencing to the Act, because the Act covers the offences and penalties. So Section 37 of the Act covers offences and penalties of the Act. So what I suggest we draft there, because we're talking about essential elements of cooperation, with everybody needs to cooperate with the agency to assist the agency to achieve the purpose that they are supposed to achieve. I suggest we have a clause there under Regulation 26 sub 4 that says, if a person contravenes any of these regulations, such contravention will be dealt with in terms of Section 37 of the Act, which means if you commit an offence, then you'll be dealt with in terms of the Act. So I think if we do it like that, we won't be in contravention of the powers that are given to the Minister. So we're not necessarily having a provision that's dealing with offences and penalties, but we're cross-referencing to the Act. That would be my two comments. Thank you very much.
Just on that one, what does 37 say?
Let me read 37 for you, Chief. Honourable Member. 37 of the Act deals with offences and penalties. It is an offence to fail to provide access. So it deals with anything that deals with contravening the provisions of the Act, which would link that to the provisions of the regulations. And F specifically, let me see, I want to see the one that specifically talks about, let me just read 37.1D. Let me read 37.1D. It is an offence to intentionally refuse to perform a duty or obstruct any person in the exercise of a power or performance of a duty in terms of this Act. And remember, this Act will be linked to the regulations, because the agency is given the power by the regulations. So anybody who frustrates the provisions of the regulations will be dealt with in respect of this section of the Act. So that's what I try to do. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think much progress has been made from the initial draft of all these regulations. Just to find out on the issue of the definitions, the participants, why do we want to put on participants as opposed to role players? What does the Principal Act say in terms of this? Is it role players or participants? And then on the integrated development plan, because we have also included it here, is it not probable to include the SDF as well? the special development framework. It's in the definition of this important thing. Then I think the IGR has been dealt with, and I agree with the junior counsel's recommendation in terms of in consultation, because that is the legal word that is being used. So in consultation, it's always a probable word, because cooperation is another thing, but consultation is another thing. So consultation is always the legal term that is being used. So anywhere where there's reference for cooperation, it should be in consultation. And because of what I see here is that we've tried hard to ensure that the IGR work, because this thing, for it to get off the ground, you must have a very, very, very sound IGR. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the municipalities from the word go are involved in the whole process, and the community where it will be affected will be involved in the public participation process, and then the provinces are taken on board, is sound enough. The funding, I just want clarity on the funding, because apart from the IGR, the other thing that will make this thing collapse is the funding. I just want clarity on this issue of funding and what we mean by this 25-1 and 2. My thinking is that we need to make sure, because of it's a priority development area, much as the same as a mining town area that has got funding that goes directly to it. Is these two clauses suggesting that that will be the case? Because one of the issues I know that the municipalities were wanting to give us a hard time on the rental housing bill because of the issue of funding for the rental information offices. The funding that we're going to be ring-fencing here, will it be the funds that come directly from the national department's budget allocation? I think that must be made explicitly clear, because once the municipalities see this, they will raise red flags and say, now who's going to fund this? Must it come out of my IDP allocated funding? I think they will agree with the issue of the IDP, that the development priority area should be forming part of the SDF and the IDP. Fair enough and good enough. But the funding for it, we should be saying that it should be coming from the national department funding allocation of the HSDG to the provinces and to the municipalities, ring-fenced in that line. Yeah, ring-fenced, just the way that they do allocation for the mining towns, so that we don't create an unfunded mandate here or a white elephant. So it must be put explicitly clear, so that the provinces and the municipalities understand that once that priority development area has been identified and all the stakeholders are taken on board, there is funding for it from national treasury, not from some fiscals of the municipality or some fiscals of the province. If it's from the province, then the national department should commit to say it will be coming from the HSDG with this allocation, ring-fenced for that purpose. So let's get the funding quite right, because at least the IGR, I can see, we have tried very hard to clean it up as much as we can. Thanks, Chair. Let me pause there.
Yes. I want to say that I think the way this has been laid out for us is very clear who says what and who made what contribution. Now, this is the nicest way I've seen something like this. Can I just, in following up on this funding issue, because and I agree that it needs to be ring-fenced. What is my understanding, and you know, sometimes we're not quite clear on this 20% top slice for the priority projects. How is this going to affect that? Because now we're actually regulating something. So, you know, whereas before, I think it's been a bit of a loose arrangement. So, yes, just bearing in mind that, and perhaps a bit more clarity on that. Thanks.
To
to add on the issue of funding, we have to go back and remind ourselves, what is the purpose of HDA? What was the purpose of HDA? In my memory, HDA was established as a special purpose vehicle. It stops there. Special purpose vehicle. If kunezinto ezizakwenza ukuthi iHDA ingayifulfilli lo mandate to be a special purpose vehicle, why should we send limited? The corporations are there, we all agree. I mean, the consultations and so the corporations, they are there. But at the end of the day, we must always remind us what was the purpose of establishing an HDA, Mamunjo. If we keep that in our minds, these regulations are going to lead us to that. And I remember when this HDA was established, there was a huge fight from the Minister of Finance, and even from the Portfolio Committee, because we said we don't want agencies anymore. Because you allocate funds, they go to an agency, then they relax, they know more. It just becomes a business as usual. It just becomes a business as usual. What could be friends? Then you come to this agency is not performing. You come again, you want to create another one. So I'm not saying there's something that is wrong, but I'm reminding us as we're finalizing this process, are these regulations in line with that? And your junior counselors, are they assisting to accomplish that objective? You have to take us into confidence now, because we have been pressing out with us. So are you giving us an assurance that as regulations, they are going to make sure that we accomplish that object of a special vehicle purpose? Because I'm referring to the PDA, what? Priority Development Housing Area. I've got a red tape up. There's no red tape. There is an assurance. CEO, chance, you are going to give us an assurance there is no red tape here. You were here when this legislation was established. Because tomorrow we don't want to hear anything as this portfolio committee. Even Nova Sukomanyama committee, the one you never say Kai. But I think we'll still have interest. Even when we are not here in Parliament, we still have interest as the members of this portfolio committee to know what is going on HDA. As a community member, we will play a role to make a follow-up. So that is why we need an assurance from you guys. What is there? No. So I'm giving you this opportunity to look at this. We can adopt it tomorrow if you are saying there's nothing. We can adopt it. But I'm giving that opportunity to clean it. I'm reminding you now to go back to your roots and say, initially, why? Why is HDA for that matter? And then you clean it up, then tomorrow I think we can adopt it so that iambene legislation ensuphina so that iambene. There is a meeting tomorrow. I mean Friday, no? Oh, Friday. No, not tomorrow, Friday. Seemingly now it's Thursday today, Friday. Yes. So we can adopt this thing if there is an assurance. So that is also the year and that is adopted. Then there's another area. The issue of the indication of the intended implementing agents. Yes, I'm happy that you have sorted out on the other side. Because we cannot held ransom by the municipalities bafuna ukuzisa iagents zabo esingazazi noma ziperforma kanjani. We don't know how those agencies are performing. So seemingly you have sorted it out to say any, whether it's an internal or external institution. So I think you have addressed that one. So I think I'm happy. The same thing say cross routine. How can we leave that one? Then I hope that within 12 months is going to be within. Because people will say, no, it's not 12 months. So when you are monitoring it, because it's going to be monitored by yourself, if you are saying within 12 months, it must be within. Don't wait for the 12 months to lapse. And then you say, we have taken, it must be within. It can be 2 months, it can be 3 months, as long as you will make sure that you observe it. As the people are going to long nina niza be ni understand and nina niza be ni figure car. And then the other issue, I'm happy. Oh, then there's a section clause 21, monitoring of priority housing development area. The agency must monitor the implementation of the priority housing development area plan, which is good. The agency must monitor the performance of the implementing agent. If the agency is not the implementing agent, agreed on that one. But now, ayikho into it if the agency, because the legislation gives agency. If it is appointed, can be an implementing agent. But there's no way can be a referee and a player. Can be. No, I'm saying I'm sure I'm someone land lang indeed. We monitoring of priority housing. So we are agreeing if the implementing agent is not the agency itself. So the agency must monitor. But now, in the case where the agency is an implementer, it's not here. It's not here. And we cannot say it can't, because the legislation, they can be appointed. They can be. So we cannot, they must not be appointed. They can be, although we are not encouraging it, in cases where we lack capacity. Because you appoint contractors, you advertise, you find that they don't have this capacity. You'll bid again, yet you know that there's an agency that has that capacity. So who is going, that is, it can be a player and a referee. So there's something that is missing here, quiz. I think you have to address it. I still permission, Glay. You have to address it. So that if they don't finish the project, SDA is a culprit in some of the projects, in the complaints that we have received. So we cannot deny that just because it's our own baby. Then today, okay, no. Naya is not innocent until proven guilty. So we need to address that area, and then I think the issues of cooperation, the agency in cooperation, No. 23. You are repeating. In cooperation, not in consultation. In consultation.
Correct. Those are the corrections that I was recommending.
But now, by the way, we see Then the issue of funding, you are saying children would know who must be specific, ring fence, so that it come from the National Department Fiscus imali. Siyazi ukuthi mosixakuyiwa kwi-budget niyadibana ndithi nine-delivery agreements, nine-implementing protocols, lapho nidibana khona i-forums nezii-departments, andithi you are going to agree that there's going to be a project kwi-area ethile, then those funds umasipala aplide, but that come money must come from the National Fiscus, because the business plans as well, whatever, they come from a local to the province, then to national. They are incorporated in your annual business plan and your five-year plan and your mid-term plan. I cross-reference, I'm very much happy, Vuyo. It is very critical. Because my argument is that it goes back to say, if it's a special vehicle people, we cannot be held ransom. Abantu must account and the consequences zonga cooperate. They must be there. So, in the way as the authority minister, unayo. Because I would talk to Maganga is, but the argument is especially in Avantana Bams and Women, which know there has to be a cross reference, and I'm very much happy about it. Respondent was in Mbala Seva.
For the response, I was just looking at that G that I showed you, Kwesi, the source of the funds required to prepare the prioritizing development area. I think that is the issue that we are raising as a committee, that there should be clarity. So perhaps we need to tweak that one to show where the source of funding would be coming from. And then subsequently with that one on K, indicative budget allocations from the municipality and other relevant participants over the MTF. I think, again, that one, we need to clean it up, because it must say indicative budget allocation from the National Fiscus. Thanks, Chair.
I think if it Nathi kule nto yaba consulta neparliament, we say may, but it's not a casting stone. As long as they are going to comply, I think it's fine that may there. This one only. Otherwise, the rest. The issue of. Okay, was that completed? Okay. Then the issue of public participation, I think members, we are very much appreciated. Because the law on in a knee shift and it's a master. And we raise concerns with the EIDP processes, even themselves, as eco-credible. Eco-credible. That is why it is important to talk about all these processes against Dilshana Nani. Imaspala, nisebenza nayo. So we are appreciating a big committee. Nukuti asbe, nukuti ESDA, bakwanzo wa as priority whatever, they are going to be part, because of consegui, so kuti, they are going to monitor the process closely. Nenga ikwazi ni lei, you calm down and monitor the process. Tina kese ya loud hailer, diakhale kuti loud hailer ibe kona la. As Lali, no, in the log, we loud hail. That's what is happening in our smaller Nyana municipalities. Ungena ma wodin, loud hail. Because abanye abantu bazibona ngezi notices ezikamasipala. Mna, I never go to the municipal offices for that matter. Mna. Ndiya nje kuba ke ndiyi public representative. If I was not a public representative, I never go to. What am I going to do? If I'm paying my rates, I send children to go and pay rates. That's all. So you must make sure about loud hailing is there. And as then you can put it in a nicer way in Nandi. There are little as a makai. Yeah.
But not to,
yes. Yes. Yeah. So it will be important to put evil. Tina alone ngaba se lali. Nenga zero matwa se turuki na bayoga maspala bo ajui shama rate.
Thank you, Chair. As you could see, I was going out, and then you said you were talking about the function of the HDA, and I came back what the purpose of the HDA was. But, Chair, I think that, firstly, it's a very important set of regulations for us. It will take our job further. I think we've worked very hard at both the legal and the consultative processes to ensure that it has widespread acceptance. And I personally would like to thank the department and especially the legal section and the governance section, the oversight section, for the work that they did. Spent a lot of time with SELGA and the provinces. So I would be confident, Chair, that this will take us forward and give us the ability to extend our mandate or carry out the mandate that was originally envisaged.
Thank you, Chair. I think on the issue of funding, we are on the same page. The department is currently looking at the funding model, because as we know that most of the work of the HDA is also being frustrated by the non-capitalization thereof. So during one of our EMT meetings, we have already taken that resolution to say let us use the top slicing so that the budget goes directly from the national department to the HDA for the purchase of the land. So what we need to do here is to ensure that the funding also for the development of the priority areas is also form part and parcel of that process, so that ring fencing is included in there.
As much as we agree, we are very much happy to hear that. But up with regulation, Tina, interesting, I will get. So we need to be a reflector. If funding is available, is there any funding model? that is going to accommodate this program. So if una formulate it for us so that ibela want an assurance from you. As a funny marking, that is why Tina Sutta and Warring Fencing, but we might be outdated, Tina. In Izanige, Nentes out in the Iti Kappa up, a suitable. Mulislan. Go and wait. Near pick San Analon.
Thank you, Chairperson. We only concur with your views. We'll have a look in terms of the principle has been given. We'll of course actually put it in the in the proper manner in which the funds are transferred, but within what is applicable and permissible. So it's in order, Chairperson.
About oversight, I don't have any mind. For oversight purposes, it must be clear. But the oversight about the thing about I will.
When they are still caucusing, let me just ask in terms of the way forward. I'm just encouraged that the CEO has just referred to consultations with the provinces and SALGA on the regulations. What happens moving forward in making sure that this is being communicated or engaged with the municipalities and the provinces? And what do we take? How do we take it forward now, the regulations? What's next after Friday?
The committee is going to adopt it, and then it's going to be taken to NCOP. Ne?
In order, Chairperson, that given the fact that it's a secondary legislation, once it's adopted, it's not going to follow the prescribed process as the primary legislation, then we'll refer it to the other house for concurrence.
Chair, I just wanted to, obviously the Minister has to then sign it into law, but I also just wanted to say that Ms. Lester and her department have been working quite hard already with some local authorities with a view to, as soon as the regulations are in place, to see if we can't actually start one of the two PhDAs. So there is already some work with two local authorities, two serious big local authorities, to see if we can actually start to implement.
Chair, I don't think there's any cost implications here, but I just want to be sure that in fact we won't be held up because of something that we can't afford, but I don't think that is the case. I just want the assurance.
Yeah, because
Chairperson, there aren't direct financial implications for the implementation except the the issue of the fund is provided for, as the committee have requested us to do. But with regard to the implementation, there are not any financial implications for the implementation.
Aye, thank you so much. Let's adopt it on Friday. Must manage a version against where you tomorrow. Against where you are, right? So that it's circulated to the members. So that on Friday morning we are adopting it. Senzelanina lula. This is for you, not for us. We adopt it on Friday morning so that at least in NCOP for concurrence and then Niambenyo Sebenza. maternity leave. Say clearly 2 years. 2 years. Members, thank you very much. There's lunch. Let's have lunch and then we'll have to go to the house. It's 1 o'clock now. Thank you very much from the department. No, you still have a lot of money.